Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Breakfast Flea Circus. I'm Cliff.
Hello, I'm Brett.
Nice to see you, Brett. And we have a special guest for our Christmas episode. Mm-hmm. It's Luke.
How are we, lads? Are we all right?
All good. Welcome, Luke from the Mariners, who has been on a fair few times and also has a Christmas album out. So it's all tying in nicely. How are you doing, Luke?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Just how everyone says it, I'm just about ready for Christmas. Just a few more bits.
I think I'm done. I think that's me.
How long have you been done?
I've just but done the wrapping today, so that's me done.
And
I had more presents than I thought I'd bought. No, when you always think, oh, I've got to buy the wife another one.
Yeah.
But you always think that, don't you?
But
I always get one more. Right,
yeah, there's always one more.
I thought I'd get something else while I was waiting for you to be ready. Then I thought, nah. I have got enough. I just keep ordering more and more stuff. So,
has anybody else's wife gone, don't get us too much this year because you always buy us too much? Has anybody else's wife said that?
Just too generous,
My
wife wants very, very, very practical things. It's like stuff for a kitchen. It's not the most expensive stuff.
Luke's just setting you up. Are you going to bring out the ironing board at Christmas and that?
It's not quite that bad, but it's.
But yeah, Christmas
gadgets. I go off on a tangent. I do get some other bits that she doesn't know she's going to get, which I then get in trouble for. Because we weren't supposed to be doing that sort of thing. But and then the excuse I have is, that's from the girls. So I say that's from my daughters. Yeah. They wanted to get you that. Yeah. So I get away with it that way.
What's the kitchen gifts? A sous vide?
Well, we're having a new kitchen in the new year. She's wanting bits towards it. So like a microwave. I know.
See, that's all I mean. She's definitely setting you up for a fail here. Kick right off on Christmas. She's going to a frying pan.
Well,
it's not even non-stick.
There's frying pans on the list.
I took Pearl out to go Christmas shopping on Saturday, get something for Jane, and she's a right little grass. That's all I'm going to say. So last night I came in from work, and Pearl needed to go to the bathroom, and Jane was ringing us about something. And fucking cats howling away. I was like, I just walked there. I was like, so fucking stressful in this house. I didn't swear. I was like, it's too stressful. Your mom's ringing. The cat's howling. And then when Jane got in, Bill went to bed. She was like, your daughter's grassed you up, by the way. She said when I came in, she was like, Mammy, you're too stressful for this house. I was like, no. and she also told us all about the presents she went to buy on Saturday and said, I couldn't tell you because it was a secret. I'm like, that is the wrong way around. It was already a secret. So, that's all out the bag. So all of the ones from Pearl are already disclosed.
Lennon would do that when he was younger as well. He would do exactly the same thing. Just the kind of keep secrets kids, can they?
I know they can't. Got to blow them out. I didn't think she was paying that much attention, to be honest.
Yeah,
she
would. Ah, you see, you'd be surprised.
I know.
My oldest is all right, but my youngest would. She'd just give everything away. So we just don't even trust her. When I've got something for my wife, I'll tell the eldest what we've got and what we're wrapping, but I try and keep it as secret as I can from the youngest.
Well, I've got all the presents, but I haven't, as of yet, I haven't had time to wrap them because it's December, so obviously I've been out on the piss every night. Even though I'm 42, I can't stop it. No, I just haven't had time, so I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to do it, to be honest. I'll have to like just go and sit in another room like my mom used to for a night. Seems a bit depressing that though, doesn't it? Like, I don't know. There's not that much to wrap, it'll be all right. So we're going to just talk general Christmassy stuff, aren't we? Christmas songs, your Christmas album, Luke, will touch on. I think you've got a quiz, which I assume is Christmassy. And first of all, your jumper, you've got the Beatles jumper on for Christmas. Very nice.
As always, yeah. That's, I think this was first brought out when we did the Get Back podcast.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
A couple years ago. Brett, any Christmas jumpers for you?
I've never owned a Christmas jumper, but I'm very jealous of Luke's, I must say.
What about, were you jealous?
I think I said that the last time. No, yours was absolutely horrific. Awful.
So it was horrible. I was going to wear it, but I genuinely can't bring myself to wear it again. So I had it. Good. It was one of the lasses from work's birthday a couple of weeks ago. And we're all going to the pub on a Sunday. This Irish pub, which is fucking brilliant. Loads of like trad musicians in the round. It's absolutely jumping, like a proper pub. Great music. Just after Shane McGowan had died, so there's loads of Pogue songs. Obviously, Fairy Tale in New York and all that was brilliant. And she said, so get your Christmas jumper out. And I was like, I don't have one, like Brett. So I had to go on Amazon. It was 2 days away. I had to go on Amazon and order two Christmas jumpers. And the material of them, I've never known anything like it. It's like an insulated football top. It is the most synthetic material I've ever felt in my life.
And football tops are the worst thing to wear as well, aren't they?
It's the weirdest material and so, I mean, it's not breathable. Definitely not breathable. So we were next to an open fire and that I was fucking sweating. It was horrible. But anyway, it's just got hundreds of pictures of cats on it with Christmas hats on. And so
what
it looked
you,
and
though?
Felt terrible. But I just thought, well, I'm going, there was only two available.
Desperation.
Desperation. It would come a day later. Actually, they must have been desperate to get them out of the house. I ordered this about 10 p.m. It was outside the door at 9 a.m. the next day. They must have been desperate to get it.
Look, in the Amazon office. Look, somebody's ordered one. What's going on?
Quick, before he cancels the order.
Exactly, yeah. Get it out of him quick.
So I wore it, and it's horrible. So there was two options. One was all right, so I'm going to keep it for Christmas Day or whatever. And then this one. And I got to the pub and it's work people. So some of them I'm mates with, some of them I don't know that much, that well. And this lass who started not long ago, she's American. She's very American, like super bubbly all the time. She was like, oh my God, look at that jump. It's amazing. Or sweater, whatever she said. She was like, do you know those cats?
Do you know each? How many cats are on the jumper?
No. Do you know them? No, that is a weird way of phrasing that, right? Like, are they your cat?
Do you know that cat?
Do you know them? Like, no. Does anybody know a cat? I don't know.
Can you ever really know a cat?
Well, that's what I said. She was too drunk to comprehend, but anyway, it was all right.
For sure.
Well, that's my Christmas jumper. What else is going on? What Christmassy, anything Christmassy happening in your house, Brett? Are the boys there?
Yes, both of them are here, but we haven't really gotten into the Christmas swing of things. We're working all that kind of stuff. Although I did watch a Christmas horror film while I was rapping today, which was called Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Deadly Night,
and it was
yeah.
hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious.
You seen that one?
Have you not? Well, the plot of it is it's wonderful. This kid, his family are killed by this bloke dressed as Santa, and he goes to an orphanage and stuff like that. and he has various breakdowns about Santa Claus. He hates Santa Claus. So he gets a job in a toy shop, and while he's working in the toy shop, he also accidentally gets a job as a Santa in the toy shop, which obviously sends him over the edge.
I think that's what they call it. That's what they call a trigger.
That is what they call a trigger. Exactly. It was wonderful. I loved this. It was funny as hell.
So he's on a rampage, was he, as Santa?
Yeah, with an axe. Santa with an axe. Okay. And all he would do when he would murder people is just go, "Naughty!" Like that.
Honestly, I've seen them both. I've never watched it.
Well, I hadn't up until today, but I'm glad I did watch it.
Christmas films?
I've had loads on again with the girls. We sort of have a rule. My eldest, she's it's her birthday in mid-November, so we say Christmas starts as soon as she's had her birthday.
Oh, nice.
So that's when we start. That's when we start like sort of feeling a bit festive. Mm. My favourite Christmas film is Scrooged, and I've watched that. I think I've watched that 3 times this year so far. I'll probably sneak it in one more time when everyone goes to bed one night. I just love it. If I'm doing some rapping, I'll put it on in the background. So it's one of them ones that I don't have to concentrate too much on because I know the story so well. But I just love it. It's just a perfect Christmas film for me.
I love it. What's your favourite bit of it? Because it's full of little scenes and lines and stuff like that.
I get a bit, so I'm a bit of a sort of a sentimentalist. I can go a bit, I guess I like the closing scenes.
Yeah.
So I like those singing and all that sort of thing. Yeah, there's good bits all the way through. I love Bill Murray. I think he's great in just about everything he does. Yeah. But I do like that. It gets me a bit emotional, that last scene, especially when the kid comes up and he says, "Merry Christmas, everyone." Or God blesses everyone, sort of thing. Yeah. And I always well up a little bit on that bit, even if I'm sat on my own watching it.
Well, that's the bit where he asks the prop man to staple the antlers to the little mouse. Quite different.
I like the fairy. She's good, isn't she?
Carol Kane, isn't it? Oh, yeah, she's great.
Keep punching him.
Yeah, keep smacking him. Yeah, I used to get quite sad at that bit, where he goes to the, when he goes back.
It's the tramp that gets me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he goes back to the shelter and like he's died because he can't survive, like that bit normally gets me. It's a great film. I haven't watched any Christmas films yet. I used to love them and watch them all the time. I think now I've got a kid, I do less Christmas stuff because I'm like busy doing stuff for her, like not necessarily just sitting on my arse watching Christmas films all the time or going out to watch Christmas tree lightings and stuff. I don't know what it's weird. I was thinking about it on the way home tonight. I haven't watched any Christmas films yet. There's hundreds on the box though, Brett, isn't there?
There's a lot.
And hundreds and hundreds.
I mean, a lot of them.
Terrible Christmas films.
Yeah, the awful American Hallmark Channel ones or whatever. Yeah.
I catch the wife watching them sometimes. And they're
terrible, aren't they?
You almost can't take your eyes. You walk in the room and she might be doing something and she'll be doing some rapping. And I'll be like, "What are you watching?" And she'll like sort of mention what it is. And every single storyline is the same. And do you know what? When you watch it on Netflix and one finishes, it links to like you might also like, and it shows the trailer, and it's almost exactly
the same film.
Just different blokes in it, different lead bloke, different lead female, different city, exactly the same story.
Well, obviously, there's a bloke who's the girl has to go back to a small town that she escaped from. Now she's got a big high flying job in the city.
Yeah.
She has to go back at Christmas because her mum's sick or something like that. She realizes that maybe the high flying busy life is not all it's cracked up to be, and what she's really missing is the love of a good man. And lo and behold, that hunky guy who works in the butcher's or in a farm or something like that is
who she maybe went to school. Who she maybe went to school with.
But at the time, nothing going on.
I've seen that one.
But the problem is, she's got to get back to the big city for a pitch. She never makes it. Yeah, that is every fucking one of those.
I think you're onto a winner with that.
Yeah, they're awful, terrible, aren't they?
My kids have just got this year, for the first time, they've got into a Santa Claus movie as well, Tim Allen's. And that's the first year That's the first year where she's had the attention span to sit down and watch it all the way through. I've tried it before, and she's just like, she's not, she's enjoyed it for 10, 15 minutes, but they want something to be happening, don't they, in films, kids?
Yeah. How old are they?
So my oldest is 7 now, and okay. She's just, like I say, just at the age now where she'll sit through something and give it time and give it a chance. The 5-year-olds, she loses interest really quick, and she'll just start causing chaos and distracting everyone. But the oldest can sit through a film.
Pearl's 4, just turned 4 in October, so she can't concentrate on anything. For 5 seconds, she's onto something new. But I did take her to the cinema the other day. On Saturday, I said me and her had a day out, Christmas shopping and stuff. I took her the pictures. There's a film called Migration, which is from the same people as the Minions and stuff. And Jane was like, have you checked the plot to make sure there's no peril in it? I was like, obviously I hadn't properly, but I was like, well, I know what it's about and it's a kid's film. But anyway, it'll be all right. This plot was entirely about the peril of a worried dad taking his young kids from the pond where they've stayed all their lives, and he's too scared to migrate for winter until something changes this year when he decides to do it. So for an hour and 15 minutes, all they're doing is getting in different scenes of peril on the way to Jamaica. And it was pretty scary. So I probably should have read a little bit more about it. Pretty good.
I think you haven't let her watch Up yet then. Don't let her watch that.
She's a bit, that's like old people, in it. Kids don't want to watch old people. These were ducks.
Kids don't want to watch old people. I love Cocoon.
Well, me too as well. But that was probably because of the aliens.
glowing aliens.
Anyway, we were going to talk about Christmas songs. I asked you what your favorite three were. We don't necessarily need to do a countdown or whatever, but I do listen to Christmas songs a lot as it gets towards Christmas, more than I watch the films and stuff. So I've had Christmas songs on. I've had Christmas songs on all day at work. It's quite a broad set of tastes at work. Yeah, this is weird. Is country music massive for young people? Because all the people at work love country, but kind of mainstream country. They love it. I can't get me. I'm so surprised. They're all 20 something from the UK, most of them. But they want these Nashville country music on all the time. Is it big in England or what? I don't.
It's not that I'm aware of.
It's really weird to me, but all different people from different walks of life who just happen to work in the same office. And they all there's people.
Well, they just want Garth Brooks on in that, don't they?
modern stuff, new. I think there's a guy called Luke Coombs. They all absolutely love this guy. Shania Twain just did a gig here, and they're all fighting over tickets to go and see her. I was she's got one song, and they all don't think Man, I Feel Like a Woman is her best song. So, they can't be that big a fan, but you know. But it's weird. So we've had a lot of Christmas country music on, is what I'm trying to say. So my views on what the best Christmas songs are probably a bit skewed this year. But Luke, what is your go-to Christmas song? If you put one on Christmas morning, you get up, what is it?
So if it was Christmas morning, so none of these songs actually would make my top three. But if it was Christmas morning when I'm cooking and doing bits like that, it'd be the Phil Spector album.
Yeah.
And none of that's made my list because I kind of see that as a complete piece of work. Mm-hmm. So from start to finish, and I hear those songs, whenever I hear any of those songs, I think of getting the turkey ready or doing the roast potatoes. It just takes me straight away into my kitchen doing stuff on Christmas Day. And I love that album. And it's weird because we've been recording the Christmas album this year, I've been listening to Christmas songs since about May, June time. Not just the songs that we've been recording, but sometimes to get me a bit of it in the mood for it, I've been listening to stuff as well. So my go-to is always the Spector album.
Yeah.
And I've got it on vinyl. But in terms of my favourite, it's not easy, is it? Picking
no, I know no, you got really
three. So one of my three, I've picked Fairy Tale of New York. Now it might be a bit of I said to you, a bit of recency bias with it just sort of coming into the news a lot with the passing of Shane McGowan and that. But it just about everything in the song is a perfectly encapsulates Christmas. Whatever sound you want for a Christmas song, that's got it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, so did you see the clip of his funeral where they were playing it and they were dancing? That was amazing.
It was amazing.
Like, that kind of shows the impact and the power of the song, I think, because it's obviously, I know Irish funerals are a bit different. Not every funeral has to be loads of people weeping and that, but taken out of the Shane McGowan, Kirsty MacColl context, what an amazing moment that was as well. Like, but the song is perfect. It's
beautiful. I watched a bit of his funeral. It was on BBC News, and I had a day off or whatever, and it was on, and it was wonderful. It was like a concert, you know. And they did this other thing, which I thought was wonderful, where they brought out various items that were important to Shane McGowan. Yeah. So one of the things was a Led Zeppelin album. One of the things was like a Irish sort of rugby shirt or whatever. And I just thought, hey, that's class. That I like that, you know. Bring out something that's important to the person. Mm-hmm. I just loved that. So, yeah.
It was a proper celebration of his life, wasn't it? It wasn't just And you do hear a lot of people say about that, like, oh, it was a proper celebration. But to actually see it on that sort of scale with that many people, and obviously, especially at the time of year, if it had happened in like June, it might not have been as prevalent in people's minds. But shortly before Christmas, in the same way that obviously Kirsty MacColl was just before Christmas, wasn't she when she passed away? But yeah, it was amazing, and I listened to that. I can't help but feel warm and feel Christmassy whenever I hear that song, any time of year, sort of thing. It's my dad's favorite Christmas song as well, and I think that probably strikes a chord with me. I think of my dad. I think of like sort of childhood memories of listening to Christmas music. So we've always been a massive. Every family's different, but we've always gone a bit big time on Christmas. We're massively into Christmas as a family.
Yeah,
so that just reminds me of being a kid, really, in the 80s as well.
I think that's another thing with Christmas, right? And all of us are about the same age, so I think you always remember that stuff. It's weird, but we did a couple of years ago, we did a fair few Christmas episodes, and there's something about, I always think of primary school, where obviously it's a big deal when we were in the 80s, and I guess it probably was the same for you, Luke, but you used to have to make like shakers, and Santa would come, and there was a day where all the desks got put in a square, and there was a party, and there was songs and dancing and stuff like that.
There's certain
things that like make me think really vividly of that, but even though I can't remember any specifics of anything, right? I just remember the general feeling of that happening. That's so long ago, obviously. But the dad favorite Christmas song thing having an impact is interesting. Brett, your dad will have a good favorite Christmas song, I'm sure.
Yeah, all of them. I mean, my dad he just loves Christmas. He loves Christmas films. He loves Christmas music. Everything about Christmas he loves. He loves Christmas specials. So Christmas was a big thing in my house as well, the same as Luke, you know. I mean, the thing with the Christmas music that I always associate with is putting the tree up.
Yeah.
Because that's when we would always have it on, you know. If you're putting the tree up, you stick the Christmas music on, you know, you hang in the stuff on the Christmas tree and things. So I associate it heavily with that. And then, obviously, at Christmas Day, you know, your mum's cooking the dinner or whatever, and it's always on then as well. So, yeah, that's what I associate with putting the Christmas tree up, I think.
Yeah. I think I can't remember ever really listening to Christmas music in the house. Like, it's just always on everywhere, isn't it? Or was when we were kids. Like, you went to any shop or the town centre, or there'd be like community centres would have Christmas parties and stuff, right? I used to go to the Catholic Club Christmas party, there'd be the church Christmas party, there'd be the school one, there might be like one, you know, you go to your friend's house or whatever, but I can't remember ever actually having it on at home. I've obviously made up for that over the years because I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christmas songs and dozens of Christmas albums now. The Phil Spector one obviously is like the masterpiece. I think there's not many albums, right? Like, there's compilations and singles, obviously Christmas hits, but there's not many albums. I think that's probably the main one. My favorite Christmas song is Darlene Love Christmas Baby Please Come Home. Like, that's my favorite Christmas song. I absolutely love that song. The emotion in her voice, it's just a great soul song. It just happens to be about Christmas, I think. I don't love the whole album. I don't like the spoken word bit from Phil, I have to say.
No, you could cut that off. I'd happily cut that one off.
Even before he was a murderer, I probably would have lost that bit.
But Darlene Love does four tracks. She's got four tracks on that, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And like every one of them. And I'd say if there's one go-to artist, she'd be the individual that I'd sort of say, mm-hmm. that's who I'd like to listen to because of her overall contribution to Christmas songs in that sense.
The National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation song is hers as well.
Yeah.
Christmas Vacation, another classic. That's all in my top three Christmas films is that one. So again, I didn't realize as a kid that was her singing that song from that until probably a few years ago, actually. So yeah, I absolutely love that. But another one that I mentioned to Brett, I don't think I mentioned to you, Luke, is we were talking about The Band a couple of weeks ago, The Band. And their song, Christmas Must Be Tonight, which I think, again, I only heard about 5 years ago. I absolutely love that song. I don't know if you know that, Luke.
I don't think I do know that one, no.
Brett, you ever heard that? It's really
obscure. I have. I listened to it before we came on, actually. It's very nativity-driven.
It's quite nativity-driven, yeah. It's basically the story of the Nativity Night. But yeah, I'd never heard it again about 5 years ago. It must have just come on a compilation. And it's not obviously a big glam rock banger. It's quite folky and Americana. But I think it's one of those where the melody and the voices, and obviously they're singing about that iconography of the nativity. It's just a beautiful song. I find that song quite emotional. I would definitely recommend listening to it, Luke. And there's a cover by a band, like a fairly recent indie band called Bahamas. I don't really know much about, but they're always pop up on Spotify. And they do a version of it. And that's a bit kind of more, makes it a bit more modern. But I honestly love that song. It's just, and it's one of those that I can't get out of my head whenever I listen to it as well. Like, I'll still be playing the chorus through in my head for hours afterwards. So that's another one of mine. Brett, you must have a favourite or something close to a favourite.
I most certainly do have a favourite. My favourite. It's funny that you should mention the glam rock there, Cliff, because isn't it strange how, like, in the 70s, like, glam rock fit perfectly with Christmas and also prog rock fit perfectly with Christmas as well. Yeah. It's a weird thing. But mine is definitely Slade's Merry Christmas, Everybody. I love it. It's just so wonderful. It should just be called Working Class Christmas. That's what it should be called. Because it's like, the words are, I mean, apparently they wrote it in like 45 minutes or whatever. I know, like, you know, people say that all the time, don't they? Oh, I wrote it now and all that kind of thing. But the words are just so evocative of a Christmas that I remember type thing, you know, squashing people into your house and all that kind of stuff. It's just wonderful. I love the words. It's just so good.
I even like that version where it's just the line, oh, you're hanging up the stocking on the wall over and over again. That's what always gets rolled out.
I don't think I've heard that one. So I've heard
that. Clip that together. I like that.
I've heard the Noel Gallagher cover. That's
the one I struggled to leave off. When I sent the three in, that was the one that was like, afterwards, it pained me a little bit. And I know it's just like just picking three random ones really out of a whole selection, but it was like, how can you like leave that one off sort of thing? It's, that's one that reminds me of my childhood home, I think, as well. If I had to pick one that takes me back to a certain place or a certain house.
Okay.
Childhood home, that one does.
And listening to obviously your album as well, your Christmas album, Christmas with the Mariners, this is a couple of sort of, it's an influence in the songs there as well, isn't it, I think?
There's one of them, I'd say, the Chaotic Crazy Christmas one I wrote. Ironically, when you were saying there a moment ago about how they took it 45 minutes, I did literally write that one in about 10, 15 minutes. It was.
You're another one.
I remember I just felt that the album needed one more, and we'd put a deadline on a day. We was sort of putting all our ideas together and sending each of the demos. And we said, like, by the end of today, we have to make sure we've decided that's what we want to get done and that's what we want to get recorded. So I sort of like knocked out its last quick one. But that one was, yeah, that's about sort of growing up as a child and experiencing Christmas and all those little things. None of the big things or anything, but all those little sort of small little parts of Christmas Day that when you mold them all together, that sort of encapsulates what your Christmas is. And then as the song goes on, it's about growing up and sort of seeing your kids have that same experience and seeing it from the other side sort of thing.
It's a bit with the dad with the batteries and stuff, isn't it? That's what I particularly loved about that one. And then it's suddenly you're the father and you forgot the batteries.
That's it,
that kind of stuff. Yeah, well, I love that one.
That's the one we'll play at the end, I think. So people will get a chance to hear that.
That's the pop. That's like the poppy one, the catchy one. That's the one that I sort of imagine could be. It won't, because it will probably never really get listened by hardly anyone. But that's the one that I imagine sort of could be played at an office Christmas party when everyone's got the daft dats on and they're sort of just messing around a little bit. Similar to a sort of Shaking Stevens, which is another one of the ones I picked. That's the sort of messing around at a Christmas party, sort of you know what I mean? Just everyone can dance around and make a prat of themselves to that song. Shaking Stevens hasn't got any. There's no like sentimental thing there. I just like it as a Christmas song. It's just a great pop song, isn't it?
Again,
like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, perfect.
The funny thing is that I don't know if this happens to you, but do you wake up with a song in your head? Because I woke up with that song in my head every morning this week. It's probably because I've listened to Luke's album and obviously it's on there as well. But it's just I wake up and it's in my head, that Shaking Stevens.
Ingrained, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's just a great song. I heard today that that almost came out the year earlier. And it did. It was massive.
I read that
85, but he deleted it because it was going to go up against Band-Aid, and he was like, "Well, what's the point?"
I read that exact same thing today. I was just reading up like, on the songs.
Famously kept Last Christmas was never number one, right? Because of that, because that came out the same year as Band-Aid, and Shaky was like, "Nope, fuck that. We'll wait a year."
But it was genius. It was genius, really, because that made number one, didn't it?
Yeah.
And if you look at Christmas songs and some of the really big ones, a lot of them didn't make number one. There's a hell of a lot that you think you assume, like Fairy Tale of New York. I know there's a chance it could make number one this year, but there's loads of songs like that that have never made number one, which you think surely it would have done. But yeah, Shaking Stephen, that was genius, really, to give it just leave it that one year.
Cynical.
Well,
genius.
The Wizard one didn't, because Slade was number one, wasn't it? It was the same year. So I think like the Wizard one was three or whatever, and Slade was number one.
What was number two? We Wish You a Wonderful Merry Christmas.
Yeah, probably.
Great song. Mike Batt, what a great songwriter he is. Absolutely brilliant.
Because like from the early 70s to the mid 80s, there was like, it was just every year, wasn't it? There was massive Christmas hits every single year.
It was obviously
year.
Like a thing, like let's fucking write one and have a massive hit. Whereas then I think people go a bit cool for it. Like if you think about the 90s, there wasn't like big Christmas bangers and it went out of fashion.
Hey, what about Cliff?
Well, it was out
Good
of fashion.
Old Cliff.
But I've just.
But the thing is, Christmas number one was a massive thing, wasn't it? I remember, you know, looking forward to Top of the Pops on Christmas Day to find out, you know, what was going to be number one.
But if you think about that 90s,
big deal,
Stay Another Day and all of that stuff, Mr. Blobby, I think. But then it became novelty songs as well, right? Because it was Mr. Blobby, it was Bob the Builder and stuff like that. So I think it went from being Christmas to just novelty, and that kind of took the shine off it a little bit. And I think that's still the same now, right? There's some. Who's that fucking lad man or something?
Yeah. Isn't it Sausage Rolls or something scammer? That's always number one? Someone like
shit.
That.
It's
is
shit,
he meant
it?
To be a scammer? Is he like the money's meant to be for charity, but he keeps it or something? I don't know. Sounds shit.
They're from around our way somewhere.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, better
not. It's fucking work.
Slag them off.
Go put our windows out, Luke.
I'll slag them off. I don't mind slagging them off.
Just put the windows out.
That should not be what Christmas is about. Songs like
that. No, is it? Unless it's a snowball.
Any records that they've got, I don't consider them to be records. They don't exist.
Yeah, fine. I think we can all agree on that. Let's take a break because we're going to run out of time on this one. Come back in 5 minutes or so. Well, welcome back to Bretton Cliff's Christmas Flea Circus with special guest Luke Williamson from the Mariners. Well, we should talk about the Beatles, I suppose. Three big Beatles fans. The Jumper is there. More than Beatles Christmas songs, which probably leads into what would your stuff look. John Lennon Christmas song, Paul McCartney Christmas song. Two massive ones, very different, of course. What are your thoughts on these, Brett?
Yeah, well, I love them. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like, should we say, Paul McCartney sort of fans don't like his one, do they?
Why?
Well, some people
don't. It's an amazing song.
I know, I like it as well. I mean, it's an odd one, isn't it? But a lot of people apparently don't like it. I certainly do. Paul McCartney certainly does because it makes him 400 grand a year or whatever it makes him. So I like it. You know, it's on every year and I always enjoy it. It's catchy and stuff. So yeah, I think the Lennon one's better. But there you go. I'm in the Lennon camp, aren't I? So
you are.
I'm about to say that. I think. It's the best thing that Yoko has ever done.
That's wrong, but okay.
What's the best thing that Yoko has ever done then, Cliff?
He's got some good songs, man.
Yeah, there's no screaming on this one, which, you know.
There's not. There's no screaming I'm on enjoying. Anything,
though. There's most things.
No. Albums, some of them are all right. More like ambient ones and stuff, they're all right, I'm telling you. Anyway, look.
Bollocks!
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. What's your thoughts?
I love it. I have heard like some people sort of criticise it. I think Mick McCartney can sometimes be an easy one to criticise. Like people like to have a little dig at him because when you've done as much as what he's done, I don't think it's any surprise that for you guys, knowing from speaking to me before, that I'll come down on the McCartney side of things on this. But I do also think that's probably just because the Lennon one probably is one of them ones that gets played so much. It's like it's on the Now album. I think it's like the opening track. So every time you put that album on, you always hear that, whereas you don't always get to listen to track 17 or whatever that may be on the album. But I like them both. Like it's the Beatles. You know what I mean? It's like in terms of what you're comparing it to. If you're comparing it to like their the Beatles stuff or even their proper solo albums and not a Christmas song as such. Sometimes a bit like seen as a bit of a novelty, but I think they're both good songs, and within their own right, they're both up there with any other Christmas songs, really.
But the Lennon thing as well. Sorry, Cliff. Always if you buy Lennon's Greatest Hits or whatever, like Lennon Legend, and it's always on there as well.
Yeah.
So unlike the McCartney one, where it's not going to be on any of his Greatest Hits stuff, is it? Do you know what I mean?
I think the Lennon one is amazing. Like, I absolutely love the opening. But I'm not massively keen on, like, the big sing-along chorus bit as it reaches its crescendo. But just love that, like, opening. And so this is Christmas. Like, that's just...
And his voice is amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's unbelievable.
The McCartney one, Luke, you probably know more than me. But is that the song that kind of split Wings up?
I'm not sure on that. For me, the McCartney one, what year was that? Was it about 80?
It's like 79 or something, 80. So oh, is it 70?
It's towards the end of Wings,
McCartney,
isn't it?
Two early, yeah. Wings, all this stuff. He arrested in Tokyo. I think it's all about the same time.
Oh, right. Okay, then. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure on that front. I like the video as well. It's just it was done at his local pub, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which again, imagine your locals near Paul McCartney and they just ropes you in to go and do a Christmas video for his
McCartney's somehow kind of maintained that kind of character, hasn't he? Like
he has somehow.
I don't know how real it is, but it seems genuine that he just goes to a pub and people don't bother him.
Yeah, it's got that sort of lo-fi quality to it, hasn't it? Where it's not like overly produced, and it does sound like it was just put together on the cuff sort of thing.
I think it's just McCartney, isn't it, playing all the instruments and everything. It's just him. He did it by himself, I think, didn't he?
I think
he was the only one on that. Obviously, Linda's on it with some backing, but other than that, it's just all McCartney on the instruments.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one of those where we like it because it's credited as Paul McCartney and Wings sometimes, and just Paul McCartney sometimes. I think it's just him.
So there's a grey area with that.
Yeah, I think that's why I thought you might know more on that, Luke, being such a big McCartney fan. But I'm pretty sure I've read or heard that it was a period where, like, it came out and the rest of the band were like, what the fuck's this? Like, we've had nothing to do with this. And it was a bit kind of the end of Wings. But
that also sounds like a very McCartney thing to have happened.
Yeah.
He hasn't got history for that kind of thing, has he?
McCartney, Neil Young, they all do it.
It does make you wonder sometimes why he did bother with other people, because he clearly doesn't need other people, does he?
Just want to be a band again. I just want to be like the guitarist or the bassist. Like, but also, I'm going to go and record this entire album on my own. Have you heard? Look, I saw you tweeting on Talk About McCartney. I saw you, I'd listened to that new version of Band on the Run.
Yeah.
Have you listened to that, Brett?
I haven't listened to that.
There's basically it's not demos, but it's a less produced version of that album seems to be coming out.
I think they've just got rid of loads of the overdubs, haven't they? So there's hardly any electric on it. It's just really stripped back, but it is also the stuff that was used for the eventual mixes. But if that one track's, because they've only put the one track on there at the minute, if that's anything to go by, then the whole album should sound really good. And I normally think something like that's a bit gimmicky, but I was really impressed with that. Just that one track, I was really impressed with it. I'm looking forward to that.
I thought it sounded good. I do wonder how many versions of everything Paul McCartney used to bring out. But, I mean, he's absolutely rinses people, I think, for their money. Like, these mega fans that buy 12 versions of McCartney 3 or whatever it was. You know?
There's a new release of McCartney 3 out as well, isn't there?
Is it?
£100 or something?
A 3-year anniversary. Like, I didn't know that was a thing for albums, but there's a 3-year anniversary.
as long as you call them a number, you can just keep doing
different coloured vinyls. I'm not sure. I get that.
There is about 20 versions of that album. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. 20 is probably underselling it as well. There's probably more than that.
It's bad, isn't it? Like,
it's crazy. But there are people out there that want every single version that they can possibly get,
and then get angry that they're having to buy them all. Like, you don't have to. Nothing happens.
This is really annoying. He's ripping us off, but I'm gonna buy one more.
Yeah, I mean, nothing will happen if you don't have that extra version of it. Like, it's fine. But I like both of those songs. I think, like I say, the beginning of the Leonard one, it does it for me. His voice, I think, is great on it. There's something I saw. There's a song from like the 40s or 50s that apparently it's exactly the same as. That's not a Christmas song. I listened to a little snippet of it, and it really is. But
I haven't heard that.
It's called like Stromboni or something like that. It's not like a fucking not a Christmas song or anything.
Yeah, he got away with that a bit.
Yeah, I don't even know anything about it. I just read that and heard a clip of it, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly the same.
But again, it's someone that's had a history for that, didn't he? We've like come together and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think he got his arse handed to him with coming together, right? Yeah. Keep doing gigs with Chuck Berry, who clearly hated him. It's a bit weird. George Harrison's Ding Dong, is that a Christmas song?
I don't know that one.
You don't know it?
No, neither do I.
No, I don't know that one.
I thought he was talking about porn or something. What was he talking about?
Yeah, George Harrison's Ding Dong, what do you think of that? There's a song called Ding Dong by George Harrison. I think it's about 78 or something. It was a single. It's like a new year. It's like the choruses ring out the old, ring in the new. It must be like Christmas Eve. Ding Dong is the thing. So
what about Mull of Kintyre? Is that a Christmas? It's a New Year's song, isn't it? It's always on New Year. Yeah, yeah.
I love Mullochintyre. There's a big issue with Mullochintyre for me though. So I'm an Notts County fan, but Nottingham Forest use that to walk out to.
No, they do, don't they?
And it pains me. It really pains me.
So, Why do you know if I'm ever out to that?
I don't know, but do you know if I'm ever out and about in the car on my own and I've got the windows down and I'm maybe listening to music and Mullochintyre comes on, I automatically turn it off because I don't want anyone
walking.
Oh, he must be a Forest fan. And he also promised that if they ever got back to the top flight, he'd go out and sing it like pre-match. Fortunately, that's not happened. He's not done that. He's not lowered himself to that.
This is a bit of an aside, Luke, but I was obviously, me and Cliff are massive Hadji fans, right? And I was looking over the history of Hadji and stuff like that. And he played at Wembley against your team.
I went to that.
Oh, you were that match?
Anglo-Italian Cup final, yeah.
That's right, exactly, yes.
We were probably the most successful English club in that. We went to two Anglo-Italian finals.
Mm-hmm.
Notts had never been to Wembley at all in their entire history until I was 8 years old. And then we went five times in six years all of a sudden.
For the Anglo-Italian
playoff, Anglo-Italian, and then another playoff. So Notts' rich vein of form coincided with me going to games.
So you've actually saw Hadji play, which is better than Hadji play, you know, me and Cliff.
But I didn't realise he didn't realise at the time who he was, sort of thing. He wasn't like he was obviously I can't remember, but he was obviously going to be good. He was Hadji.
Yeah.
It was before he was proper famous, I guess, over here.
Yeah.
Well, I can't every time you just read. Google him now and read whatever his latest story is. He's always doing mad shit. He's like in the Romanian FA. I thought he was a politician or something.
Yeah, is he a politician now?
He has like, he basically runs like Romania's like version of Lillishall or whatever. As well. So there's always like mad stories about that. His son still plays for Rangers, I think.
Does he?
All right. Maybe we'll sign him, Brett.
You probably will. Anyway, back to Mullochintyre. Did you not? Your mum and dad not always play it on New Year because of the bagpipes?
You're thinking of Auld Lang Syne, but
I'm not.
I remember my parents playing a lot of. So they didn't own many records, but what they did have in the sort of late 80s, early 90s is they had the Red and Blue album, Beatles Red and Blue album. Uh-huh. Then my mum had a couple of Motown albums. My dad had Irish folk albums, and then they had one solo Lennon album, which was Lennon Legend, whenever that came out around that time, and then they had a McCartney album. So that was the sort of stuff that I sort of was played around a lot around that time growing up.
Yeah,
Mullochintyre, it does sound Christmassy. I think the whole Lennon Legend album feels Christmassy, but I think that's to do with the production that he was going through at that time and the sort of the
there's a lot
sound.
Of spec there production, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like a Christmas album. It always reminds me of Christmas, Lennon Legend does, even though there's only one song on the whole thing that's a Christmas release.
Yeah, makes sense, I think. Makes sense. So the Beatles also brought out Christmas songs, which even as a big fan, I wasn't massively aware of these, or I don't think I've even heard all of them, but I have heard Christmas Time Is Here Again. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Christmas Time brackets is here.
Is here, yeah.
Look, you must know a bit about these Christmas singles, EPs. What were they? Because they're not a massive part of the Beatles. Well,
it was like
story.
it was part of the fan club thing that people used to sign up to. So they used to send like little flexi discs out with just Christmas messages on and bits and bobs like that. And one of them happened to have this Christmas Time Is Here Again. I think that there's a version out there somewhere on the internet that's like 7 or 8 minutes long. The commercial version, I think, that made the flexi disc was just like a couple of minutes. It went around maybe 3 or 4 times, but there's one version that goes on for ages. But yeah, they did like their Christmas message every year. And I think that was like for 4 or 5 years running. And if you can pick up one of those flexi discs, those Christmas message flexi discs now, they're worth an absolute fortune.
Oh, sure. Brett, are you aware of the song?
Just from, you know, obviously what Luke says, they're reading about the fan club and stuff like that where they'd send a message because they couldn't write back to the fans that they wanted to write back to or whatever. So they thought, well, we'll will send out a Christmas message on the flexi disc or what have you. So I think that's why, that's how it came about, that they couldn't get in touch with the fans who wrote letters that to them sense. Type thing, you know.
I think after a while they also then decided, right, let's fuck these off. We're not going to keep doing
this. No.
I really like the song. It's great. Like your version, I've heard another version of it as well. It feels like it might be somebody like Sonic Youth, but that I've probably made
Cooler,
that up.
Cooler Shaker did a version.
Oh, did
that's the one you?
Because quite droney, right? I guess it kind of fits in with that.
Yeah, it's just one of them. I know it's a bit of a throwaway because obviously it's very repetitive. But again, when we were sort of looking at doing the album, and we had, I think we'd by this point we were probably up to like 10 or 11 songs, and then Luke, the bass player, just all of a sudden sent us a track through. He said, "I've been working on this. Should we have a bash at this?" And he'd done the he'd basically done the drums for it, the bass, load of Indian instruments, and with the drone and the sitar. Mm. He put some electric. He basically done the whole lot, and then just said, "Do you want to whack a vocal on that?" So yeah, we thought it was just a bit of fun, a bit of a throwaway track, really. But
it's not a song that many people will know, right? So
yeah,
you do a Beatles cover, and it's that people will be like, "What the fuck's this?" So I think it's an inspired choice. I think it's a good choice.
Indeed.
We'll edge in towards the end, I guess. So let's. We'll get on to a little bit about the album and the song we're going to play. But is it quiz time? Are you ready for a quiz, Brett?
Yeah, we can go for the quiz time. Yeah,
let's do it.
Okay, so yeah. I was toying with different ideas actually. So I'm just going to throw some questions at you in the way that they are sometimes a little bit random the way you do it. So right. for the first one, you can both have a guess. And it will be the nearest one to the correct answer gets it. So how many thousand pounds did Bob Geldof initially predict that Band Aid would raise for Ethiopia in the year of its release? How many thousands?
1,000 pounds.
100,000 pounds.
I don't know. It's hard to know what money was not going to bounce back then. But so people bought the single and the money went to charity.
Yeah,
and I guess the single was going to be £2 or something like that. I think it's probably a low estimate. I think he probably was like, it'll probably make £30,000 or something.
So he underplayed it big time. So he said it would make around £70,000 in that first year alone. It made £8 million. it did all right.
Well, Brett, you won that one.
I did.
Question two is, which family enjoyed 5 Christmas number ones in the 1960s?
Which family?
Yeah, which family?
Ooh.
I'll give you a clue. We have mentioned the family this evening.
The family? What the fuck? 5 Christmas
and we've mentioned them.
I can't remember what we talked about.
It's a bit of a trick question.
The Ronettes.
It was two different artists. So one of the artists had 4 Christmas number ones, and then somebody else in the same family had a Christmas number one.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a hard question, that one, isn't it? It's worse than you, Cliff, isn't he?
I don't know. Look, who was it?
It was the McCartney family. So the Beatles had number ones in the 60s at Christmas with "I Want to Hold Your Hand," "I Feel Fine," "Day Tripper," and "Hello Goodbye," and then Mike McCartney had one with "Lily the Pink."
All right, okay.
First couple. Novelty Christmas record, yeah. So a bit of a trick.
Was a tricky.
Okay, so whose piano playing was rejected from being on "Santa Claus Is Coming into Town" on the Phil Spector Christmas album? Whose piano playing was rejected?
It's got to be Beatles link, hasn't it? It's got to be Preston some way.
If you're thinking in the same sort of era as a McCartney, but it's not a Beatle, but if you was thinking of the same sort of level of genius as McCartney, you would go far wrong.
63? What?
Yeah.
Brian Wilson,
correct.
I thought it was a little...
After securing a Christmas number one in 1960 with The Shadows, how long did Cliff Richard have to wait for his next Christmas number one?
Breath specialist subject.
It's got to be 86, hasn't it, with the mistletoe and wine? Is that right? Is it 85? I'm not sure.
I'm going to say 82.
It was 88, so we had to wait 28 years.
And is that mistletoe and wine then?
It was mistletoe and wine, yeah. And then he waited another 2 years and he had the other one.
Nobody remembers.
Which one? Saviour's Day. Saviour's Day, is that one?
It is Saviour's Day. And then I was going to finish on this 10 possible answers, but see how many you can get. So in terms of, Brett mentioned it earlier on, in terms of royalties, in the UK, which 10 songs make the most in royalties every Christmas?
Slade's got to be up the top.
So you mentioned Slade, that's the biggest one. That makes 500k a year.
All right. You can go now, Cliff.
Last Christmas?
Last Christmas is number 5, £300,000 a year.
Driving home for Christmas?
You also mentioned Wonderful Christmas Time earlier on, and that's on the list. Yeah. What was that one you just mentioned? Sorry.
Driving over Christmas, Chris Rea.
No, that's not. That's not.
Oh, what?
Of course it's not.
Why not? Why not?
Because it's not one of the biggest songs.
This is in my house.
In the UK. So is it in UK, the UK artists, but just sales in the UK. Okay. Mariah Carey.
It's sales in the UK. Mariah Carey's on there. $376,000 a year.
Right, it's my turn then. Wizard, the Wizard one?
Wizard's not on the top 10.
Oh, fucking hell.
Criminal.
Criminal. It is.
Christmas songs.
In at number 10 is one that I wouldn't... Do you know when people say a Christmas song? In at number 10 is one I would not class as a Christmas song. It was a Christmas number.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
No. I'm not sure what year it'd been.
A Christmas song, that one, is it? The Power Love. Is it Power Love?
Video's like your activity, isn't it? I think that's why that one.
Yeah. What about the Band-Aid? Is that still making money?
Well, this is based on 2021. Now, don't blame the quizmaster here. That's not on there, but surely it is.
That's probably made more money.
Nobody listens to that song anymore.
This website must be shit.
It's the one Cliff uses. Well, it's the same one. What's it called?
Day by 17.
really old one from the 40s.
From the 40s?
The biggest. Bing Crosby.
Christmas.
Correct.
Okay, White Christmas.
Still makes $328,000 a year.
Is it? Wow. Okay.
One of them is one of the songs that I was going to pick as my three. We didn't get around to talking about it, but that was Joni Louis, Stop the Cavalry.
It wasn't intended
to be a Christmas song either, but the record label just liked the line "Wish I Was at Home for Christmas" and said, "Let's release it at Christmas."
It's a good song.
That is basically the line that makes the song as well. So
yeah, right. I also like the Mike Oldfield one as well because he's guitar player and that's unbelievable.
You love Greg Lake.
Love Greg Lake.
I like the Greg Lake one. Yeah.
What about Christopher? It's his best song.
What?
Isn't it?
What is?
His Christmas song? Christmas song?
It can't be better than Lady
Spaceman Came Traveling.
The one that snuck in onto the top 10 that I don't count as a Christmas song was E17. Did you say that?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. He didn't, look.
I was shouting. Yeah, Joey.
Mike Oldfield. Just shouting that right over and over again.
Mike Oldfield. Yeah. Tubular Bells.
Do you know the name of the song?
It's a...
Don't look it up.
I can't even pronounce it. If I did have it written down. In Dulce Diablo. Something like that.
Is it Il Dolce Jubilo? Is that what it's called?
That was close enough, wasn't it?
Anyway, it's not in the top 10.
Anyway,
otherwise Luke would have it in front of him.
Yeah, that's correct.
What have we missed out with that then?
The only one you missed, well, we mentioned the Pogues earlier on, that makes 400k a year. So the last one that we've not mentioned is Pretenders 2000 Miles.
Oh, I was going to say that as well, but I didn't think it was that big.
Yeah. So that was in at number 8. So yeah, that was sort of a mix of a mash of the top 10.
What do you think of Step Into Christmas by Elton John?
I like that one. I was on a bus the other day and there was a family sat at the front and there was a young lad talking to his auntie and they were singing the song and he says, it's my favourite. It goes, and he was singing it along to her and they were like, oh, what's it called? What's it called? And I was halfway back on the bus and I just shouted Step Into Christmas. The bus was absolutely rammed. Me and my daughter had just been out to ice skating in town and then went to watch Wonka at the cinema. And Christmas is the one time of year where you're actually allowed on a bus just to shout out at random strangers and you won't get hit for it.
Everyone just couldn't resist, could you, Luke? You couldn't resist.
Or in socials, that's just what happens in socials.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, normally there's no eye contact. It's like you just sit on the bus and you keep quiet and you don't talk to anyone. But
if you ever visit us in socials, you will not be talked that when you get on a bus. You have to fight them off.
It's certainly different. Funnily enough, Lennon, my son's just bought a 12-string guitar and he was playing Step Into Christmas on that.
On that? Oh, it's, wouldn't it be what came to mind to me?
Like that. Okay, he's nice. Right. Yeah, he's mint, you know, he's class. He's a brilliant guitarist.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's why he was playing. Puts me to shame.
I like that quiz, Luke. That's good. So we'll finish with a song from your Christmas album. Tell us a little bit about the album and the song that we're going to play.
So I wrote a song, the opening track of the album. I wrote that one about 5-6 years ago, and ever since it's been written, we've been like, we've got to do something. We've got to do a Christmas release, be it a single or a double A side or something like that. And in April this year, I just sent the lads a message saying, are we going to do it this year, sort of thing, off the cuff, sort of sent them the old demo. And we were like, yeah, we'll try. Let's try and do a 4-track EP. Well, about two or 3 weeks later, we had a 14-track album sort of written. it was 11 originals and we've whacked 3 covers on there. And once we was in the mood of writing a Christmas song, you were getting ideas for other Christmas songs, listening to Christmas songs. So like I say, I've had them on all year. And the one you're going to play tonight is Chaotic Crazy Christmas. And that's just about my childhood growing up, all the things that happened on Christmas Day. Your grandma crashed out on the sofa drinking sherry. And like you mentioned earlier on about like dad running out of the batteries or forgetting the batteries for your present. And then it's all just come full circle. And I've now got kids at Christmas and you're just trying to make sure they have a Christmas that they'll remember when they're older. In much the same way that I remember all the ones that I had because of all the efforts that my parents went to. So yeah, that's the sort of vibe and that sort of feel of it.
Nice one. And if people want to listen to it or buy it, what's the best place to do that?
You can go to themariners.bandcamp.com and we've got some CDs available of it. You can also stream it in all the usual places that rip artists off, but you're more than welcome to go there as well. Just check out that you do like it and then come and buy it on Bandcamp. Like I say, we've got CD copies of it still available, a lot. I think we overcalculated this one. We bought 50, we bought like 50 odd copies thinking we'll flog a few of them. And I think we've sold 6. So.
But
it's all fun and games and we'll be able to try and sell them every year. So.
Well, of course. Well, this is Crazy Chaotic Christmas. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Brett. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. I think this will go out on Christmas Eve or the day before. See you later. Merry Christmas.
Thank you both.
Merry have a good Christmas, boys.
Cheers, chaps.
There were logs on the fire with my old man in a mire. He forgot to buy batteries. A chaotic, crazy Christmas. Now Christmas is a part of me. The turkey would be cooking as Mama was a-supping on a sherry on the big settee. A chaotic, crazy Christmas, now Christmas is a part of me. It was the anticipation and the mystery, imagining what could be beneath the tree. I could never sleep on Christmas Eve. And everyone was offering a hand in the kitchen, but me mum insisted there's no need. A chaotic, crazy Christmas, now Christmas is a part of me. Mm-hmm. Thank you.